and I sometimes avoid this whole Bible prophecy timeline is because when you begin to talk about the end times, our natural proclivity is to ask this question, when?
This is Straight Talk.
God bless you, friends. Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck. I'm here with the senior pastor of New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark Jobe. Pastor Mark, this series has been a riveting one. I mean, the media talks about the end times. We see all of these things happening around the world. You see persecution, ISIS, famines, earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes. All the world seems to be quaking. And all the while, this message from Jesus has been given to us to give us guidance.
You know, there's something about the reason that Jesus said, be ready, I'm coming like a thief in the night. It's been 2,000 years, Joshua, and Jesus has not yet come. However, the Bible is clear about why he has not yet come. In fact, recently in church, I asked, if Jesus would have come 5 years ago, how many of you here would not have known him or heard the gospel, been ready? And a whole bunch of hands went up, and I said, that's exactly why Jesus is waiting. And scripture tells us he's patient, and he's not slow in keeping his promises. Some people think slowness. He is patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the truth. I believe that every day that we have is an extension of the grace of God, giving an opportunity for thousands more people to come to know him. But don't be deceived into thinking that life will go on forever like it is, because Jesus is coming, and we truly need to be prepared for his coming.
That's a good word. And friends, as you listen to this, our prayer is that as you hear the voice of Jesus, you wouldn't be terrified. You wouldn't be afraid into doing nothing, but that you would be stimulated in your mission and purpose. And I believe that's why Jesus wrote these words, so that we can be on target, like Pastor Mark said. Let's get ready for today's message. This is in the series Beyond Now, Living for Eternity Today.
I've entitled this message, How Close Are We? How close are we? Matthew 24 and 25 are some of the most controversial scriptures in the New Testament. They have been read and analyzed. They have frightened people. They have been diagnosed and reread. People have interpreted it in different ways, because Matthew chapter 24 and 25 are Jesus' explanation of how we need to ready ourselves for what the Bible calls the end times. Now, I know just saying that scares some of you, because I believe that there's two extremes when we talk about the end times. I think there's the one, on one extreme, you have the doubters, the people that say nothing's ever going to change. It's always going to stay the same. It's just going to continue on like it's always continued on before. I don't believe there's going to be any catastrophic event. There's no Armageddon. There's no end of the world coming of Jesus. Everything's just going to progress like it's always progressed before. And on the other extreme, the alarmist, the people that are always interpreting every event that happens as, let's build a bunker in our basement. Let's get the waters, and let's get the let's prepare for the end of the world. And they're predicting, and everything is about the end is coming. And so you have at one extreme the alarmists, at the other extreme the doubters. But I believe that Jesus gives us a bit of a different perspective, and I want to focus on that today as we look at this passage on the end times. Now, recently, I was with my wife in a little town in Spain that we had never been to before. And I was trying to make my way to the hotel that we were staying at. And like most men, I just told my wife, follow me, I know where I'm going. How many of you wives have heard that before? And she said, well, how exactly are you going to get there? I instinctively, honey, I'll know how to get there. And so as we started to walk, now I always get there. I may not always get there the straightest path. Sometimes I take a scenic route where people have never been before. Tourists have never toured before. And sometimes we see the bad neighborhoods in the city while I'm walking or there. But I always get there one way or another. And so she stopped and said, "I'm tired. My feet hurt. I want to know where you're going." So I pulled out my smartphone and pulled out Google Maps and put in the address. And it has a feature where you hit walk and then it starts telling you how to get there. So on the map, I could see where I was at because there's a little flashing dot. And I could see the point where we were going. So I saw where we at, the point where we were going. But in between, I wasn't sure what that would look like. So I started to follow my GPS Google Maps, and it took us through we turned into a very narrow, long, dark alley that not even a car would fit through. And my wife said, "I'm not going in there." I'm saying, "Well, honey, GPS says." So I convinced her to go through this dark alley. There was horse manure there. It looked like a scary dark alley. And I kept telling her, "I'm not sure exactly how we're going to get there, but I know the dot is just ahead." And finally, we arrived. And I think sometimes biblical prophecy is like that. We know the destination point, and we sort of know where we're at, but what lies in between is a bit of a mystery. How hard it will be, how narrow the path will be, how challenging it will be is a bit of a mystery. And so today we're going to look at the destination point and look at what Jesus says about the path to get to that destination point. Matthew chapter 24 talks about the end times. Now, as I was studying this, I also discovered that we have a long history of making predictions about when the end will come. In fact, if you research it a little bit, you'll realize that since the days of Jesus, people have been making predictions about the day, the hour, the month, the year, and the time. I was really astounded about how many religious groups over the last 2,000 years have made predictions about the year, the day, and the month. And I could spend a lot of time telling you all of the religious groups, both Christian and non-Christian, that talk about the end of the world, the predictions about some catastrophic event that will end the world, Armageddon. And the history is full of prophetic predictions and false predictions about the end of the world. For example, in the second century, a group of people called the Montanists, which were a kind of a break off of Christianity where there were a lot of prophets and prophetess. This movement predicted that Jesus would come sometime during their lifetime and establish the New Jerusalem in a city called Papusa in Asia Minor. They said, "Jesus is coming in our lifetime, and he's going to establish his kingdom in this area." And it didn't happen. Years later, one of the greatest moments where hundreds of thousands of people expected the end of the world and the coming of Jesus was at the turn of the millennium, at the year 1000. Literally, hundreds of thousands of people in Europe expected that the year 1000 would be the end of the world. In fact, so many people believed it that then there was such a fervor that it was the end of the world that many people quit their jobs. Many farmers did not farm because they expected, "Hey, why am I going to farm if no one's going to be here to harvest the farm?" In fact, there's a couple of nations, Christianized nations, went to war with some pagan nations for the full purpose of converting them before the end of the world. The year 1000 came, the year 1000 left, and Jesus had not come. I read also that there's a few religious groups that started because of their founders predicted the end of the world. For example, a fellow by the name of Joseph Smith. who started the Mormon movement. In 1835, he predicted that Jesus would come in 56 years from then. So all of the followers believed that Jesus would come in 56 years. Well, 1891 came, 1891 left, and Jesus had not come. Charles Russell, who started the Jehovah's Witness movement, he predicted that in 1914, it would be the end of the world. Armageddon would come. That everything as we know it would end in 1914. Hundreds of his followers left their jobs and went throughout the world going door to door telling people, get ready, the end of the world is coming. You only have 2 years to get ready because Armageddon is going to happen. The world is going to end. It's going to be a huge catastrophic event. The end is here. And 1914 came. People waited, expected. On October the 2nd of 1914, they thought the year was it was going to end. October came, October left, and the world was the same. More recently, one of the biggest, well, in 1800s, a man by the name of William Miller predicted that Christ would return on April 3rd, 1843. Anybody have their birthday on April the 3rd? No. Oh, over here. Yeah, one did. All right. Big day in history. Miller believed that on April the 3rd, 1843, that Jesus was coming. It would be the end of the world. He had a 500,000 followers in the United States of America that believed what he said. In fact, some of them on April the 3rd went up to mountains to be, I guess, closer to the, you know, heavens, and waited on the top of mountains. Some went to graveyards because they believed that their dead would resurrect and they wanted to be next to Uncle Harry as he came out of the grave. And so they went to graveyards. They went to the top of mountains and they waited all through the night. This is the day, April the 3rd, the end of the world. Jesus is coming. And it never happened.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, How Close Are We? Which is from Pastor Mark's new series called Beyond Now, Living for Eternity Today. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of our message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in a message called, How Close Are We?
I remember just a few years ago, do you remember a fellow by the name of Harold Camping, who on May 21st of 2011 predicted that this would be the end of the world. He had 5,000 billboards throughout the United States of America and hundreds of his followers that quit their jobs. He owned a network of radio stations, and he began to predict the end of the world will come on May 21st. He had figured it out chronologically through the Bible and explained that he had traced it all the way back to the prophecies of Daniel through the New Testament, and that he was sure that on May 21st, 2011, the world would come to an end. All his followers were shown with letter signs holding up, the end is here. They held it up. They held it up. The day ended. The sun arose on April the 4th, or April the 22nd, I'm sorry, May the 22nd. I get all these days confused because I'm coming to the end. And nothing had happened. Now I want you to hear me very well. The reason I sometimes avoid this whole Bible prophecy timeline is because when you begin to talk about the end times, our natural proclivity is to ask this question, when? When? And here's the answer that the Bible gives us. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 3 says, concerning the times and the seasons, as he talks about the ends of time, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, the end, the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. When people say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. What the Bible tells us over and over is that it's not our job to know the day, the year, the month, or the time. That's up to God. In fact, he tells us that the end will come as a thief in the night. Think about that for a second. When's the last time a thief has gone to burglarize a home and sends a Instagram message ahead of time saying, by the way, at 12:30 tonight, I'm going to break into your house? Thieves come unexpectedly. We don't know when they're coming. It's the element of surprise. That's how thieves come in. And Jesus says that no one knows the day, the time, or the moment. These are just in the hands and the mind of the Father. So I want you to look up at me. This is very important. Anytime you hear someone give a date, a year, a decade, a month, a day, an hour, a time, I want you to be aware of this, that that person is either a false prophet or that person does not know their Bible, because it's never, never, never up to us to predict the time, the day, the decade, the month. So do not believe it. I had someone send me a Facebook message in September, because there was some prediction that the end of the world was coming, I think September 15th or so. Anybody hear about that one? Yeah. And this person sent me a message distraught. They don't come regularly to this church, but they said, what am I going to do? How do I prepare? Help me. I'm distraught over this. I just message him back, don't quit your job. What you need to do is what you do every day. Hopefully you get up in the morning. The best way to be prepared for the coming of Jesus is to prepare your heart and your soul. Let it be in the right place so you could die by being hit by a car before the coming of Christ. So be ready every day. Amen? All right. So having said that, let's jump into Matthew chapter 24 and look at what Jesus has to say about the end of times. Let me begin reading in verse 1 of Matthew 24. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him to call his attention to its buildings, the buildings of the temple. "Do you see all these things?" Jesus said to them. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Jesus was making a prophetic prediction that this magnificent temple that all the Jews were in awe over would be completely destroyed coming soon. That was a prophetic word. The disciples, it was like a bomb dropped in them. It was like you showing some visitors around downtown Chicago and you point to the Sears Tower. I still call it the Sears Tower. I can't convince myself to call it the Willis. Anybody else with me here today? All right. Just making sure you're with me. To me, it's the Sears, not the Willis. And walking by the Sears Tower and someone says, "Oh, by the way, not a beam of the Sears Tower will be left one upon. It will be utterly destroyed." You would be aghast at that. You would think, well, it has to take a nuclear bomb or some catastrophic event that will tear down the Sears Tower. Well, the disciples were shocked that Jesus said of the temple that it would be destroyed. They walked for about a mile thinking about this, conversing about this, murmuring about this. And when they got to a private place, the disciples went to Jesus, who was sitting in the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately and they said to him, "When will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Now, this is what brings about the confusion of this chapter. And I'm going to teach you a little bit. Are you ready to learn today? Okay, you're going to have to stay with me a little bit. Elbow the person beside you and say, stay with the pastor. He's teaching you something. Okay, I want you to stay with me a little bit. I'm teaching you some Bible here, so stay with me. The reason this is confusing is that in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, Jesus is actually answering three questions with one answer. The disciples assumed that the destruction of the temple would mark the end of the world, but it was not so. Little did they know that 40 years after their conversation, that the destruction of the temple would happen. It would not be the end of the world. It would be the end of Jerusalem, but not the end of the world. So Jesus is answering, when will the temple be torn down? What are the signs of the coming of Jesus? And when will be the end of the world? You see those three answers packaged in one passage. Let me talk to you about the temple, first of all, just so you get an understanding of it. I have been to Jerusalem, and I've been to what's called the Wailing Wall. You may have seen pictures of it. This is the most sacred place for the Jewish people. It's not even a wall that's a part of the temple. It's a support wall upon which the temple was built. But it's the most ancient wall, and they view it as the gateway to heaven. In fact, when I was on this trip, several people, when Jewish friends knew that some of their friends would be going to the Wailing Wall, they wrote out prayers and gave it to their friends. And so if you approach the Wailing Wall, you'll find all of these prayers rolled up in little papers and thousands of papers put into the crevices of the Wailing Wall, because Jewish people believe it's the closest thing to the temple. It's the gateway to heaven. And when you approach the wall, your head has to be covered. There's a section for women and a section for men because it's the closest thing to the temple. The temple in those days was a magnificent structure. It was 4.5 football fields long. It was King Herod had rebuilt the temple, and he had hired 10,000 workers to rebuild this magnificent structure. 1,500 of these workers were priests that were specialists and only then could work on the Holy of Holies within the temple. It took them 20 years to complete this structure. It was a wonder of the world. People would come and be flabbergasted at the magnificence, the beauty, the architecture, the enormity of these buildings. The temple itself was between 10 to 16 stories high, gold-plated on the outside, so that when the sun shined on the building, it was almost like you had to cover your eyes because of the reflection of the sun on the gold exterior of the building. So the disciples were amazed at the beauty of this temple, and yet Jesus said, not a stone of this temple will remain upon stone. This will be utterly destroyed. When they said, when will this happen? Jesus had already seen it in the future. In fact, 40 years after the death of Jesus, 40 years, in 70 AD, there was a rebellion that came in Jerusalem by the Jews against the Romans. Rome had occupied Jerusalem. And to squelch the rebellion, the Roman armies marched on Jerusalem and destroyed the entire city, burning, ransacking, killing thousands upon thousands of people in Jerusalem. And when they came to the temple, they set the temple on fire. As the temple was burning, the gold that was on the roof and the gold that had been plated on the walls began to melt, and it melted in the crevices of the rocks. So the Romans, in order to get every single piece of gold, they destroyed rock by rock the temple so they could get the melted gold within the crevices of the rock. So every one of the rocks was torn down, and the prophecy of Jesus was fulfilled 40 years after his death.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Beyond Now, Living for Eternity Today. And today was the first half of his message called How Close Are We? Join us again tomorrow for the second half. And as I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. just log on to PastorMarkJob.com. That's PastorMarkJob.com. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. Pastor Mark's book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a new home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicago. Just log on at newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. You'll find all the locations and the times that they meet. We'd love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks again for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow as we continue on in our message called How Close Are We? Have a great night, and God bless.